So as I have shared, and I shared with Jason yesterday, we rarely do that. We rarely discuss what we're going to teach on the next day, and he just kind of reached out, and I said, hey, it's going to be healing. And this last year has just been a brutal year physically. It seems like there's been illnesses and surgeries, and you know, I've been praying about this upcoming year, and the Lord just really put on my heart that there needs to be healing. And if you don't know this about our church, this is one particular area that God has called our church to. People come in, they get healed, and a lot of times they just leave. And unfortunately, where we would want people to stay because they've gotten touched by the Lord here and they've grown, sometimes that's not God's plan. And so it is true what the scriptures say in Exodus chapter 29, the priests are to come to the Lord and they're to have their hands open. Because what happens is the Lord puts things into the hands of the priest, but he can also take them right back out. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. And so with this particular ministry, I just have found that, Lord, it's better that I come, as your scriptures say, that the priests need to come with their hands open. Lord, what do you want to do? Go ahead and do it. And my hands are open and willing to serve. But if you want to bring someone in and you want to minister to them, and although we want to grow our church, Lord, you might move them on. Lord, this is your will. Whatever you have for our congregation, that's where we need to be. We need to be in the center of his will. That's a hard one. It's a hard one when you're working to build the church. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong to allow people. We don't put shackles on people. We don't put meat hooks in people. We don't have a membership. We believe in the membership of the members of the body of Christ. And so the doors are open for people to come in, and they're certainly open for them to leave. We just would ask that they would have a place to go, that they would have a place that they would be grounded and rooted in, that the Word of God's being taught, that the Spirit's being exercised and all the gifts. And are you guys with me? So this is, I think, a timely message for our ministry and for our church. I really believe that there just needs to be healings that take place. Now, listen, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says that there's the gifts of healings. So there's multiple types of healings that can take place. The greatest healing, you and I both know, it's the healing of salvation, that somebody would come to the Lord and say, God, I repent of my sins. I come to you. Please be my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. And they get healed from their sins and they have eternal life. That's the greatest healing that can take place. But there are more healings that God has. And God has a church. God has us as a fellowship to be able to be ministering within that scope of healings. So healing takes many shapes and forms. Also, true healing gives hope. So my question at the outset of the message is this. Do you need a healing? And do you need hope? And if you haven't thought about this up to this point, I want you to be thinking about it. I want you to pray about it. I want you to be cognizant of the fact that God is a God who heals. This is something that he functions in. And he just so happens to do a pretty good amount of things, some pretty miraculous things here in this fellowship with healings. So we align ourselves and we say, God, have your way with us. We want your will to be done. So if you want to heal people, then go ahead and heal people. And I would tell you this, I'd like some healings. There's things in my life, more than physical healings, that I would like the Lord to heal. Wounds, hurts, like there's emotional things, there's mental, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we deal with. So that's where I'm posing that to you. What is it that you need healing on? We have a God who absolutely loves us. And I believe that in these few verses we're going to look at this morning, that you'll see that our God is very personal with us. And he takes this so seriously. Now, sometimes, unfortunately, there's those that God chooses to give them a healing up in heaven. And they pass away. And it's grievous for us. It breaks our hearts because there's a loss for us, but there's a gain for them. But there's a heaviness in that. But I want you to know this, that God still wants to move in our lives and God wants to heal things. Hurts that you might have forgotten about. Maybe you've suppressed, you've held them down for a long time, and maybe it's time you deal with them this year. So I want to ask that you'd be open to that and open to what the Lord would want to do. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. And this is where Jesus heals a deaf mute, a person who couldn't hear, a person who had trouble speaking. So I'm going to read the verses, and then we're going to come back, and we're just going to break them down a verse or two at a time. Follow along as I read. Verse 31 says, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he, Jesus, came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought him, one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spat, and he touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed. And he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more that he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Just a miraculous passage, and one that is appropriate for where we're at. God wants to heal, and he does things in such a special way, and that's what we're going to look at today. In verse 31, we see that there's preparation. It says, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon. So we have to understand there's a work that was just being done. It was another healing. The verses prior to this, verses 24 through 30, it talks about this guy who was demon-possessed. He needed a healing. He needed to be set free, and Jesus came in and set him free. Pretty amazing. If you've never came across a demon-possessed person, it is strange. It is the strangest thing for an entity that is outside of our dimension to break through and to be used in a way, especially within the realms of demonic activity, than to fill a person and then to direct their life. It is the weirdest thing. And if you've got discernment, if you've got that gift of discernment, what happens is you get a check in your spirit and you say, something's not right about this person. Sometimes it's very obvious and they speak in weird terms. The only time that I've ever came across one that I've actually confronted was when I was out in California at Calvary Chapel La Mirada, and it was right after a message that Pastor Brian was gone. I was able to teach and I shared, and we went into the kitchen of this junior high where we were meeting. And a man came in, and we had a junior high group that was band, and they were doing their worship band practice inside the cafeteria. And so we were just on the other side of these kids, the other side of the wall from these kids. And this man came in, and he smelled like alcohol. It smelled horrible. And there was just something not right. And he said, hey, I could really use prayer. So we began praying for him. As we began praying for him, he started making some weird noises. It's really not the stress of this. What I was getting at is that it's just strange. And we prayed for him, and he made weird noises, and then he threatened to go out, and we told him you couldn't. We had absolute control. And my point is this, just with the whole demon possessing, which is not what we're talking about today, is listen, you as a child of God, you are protected, you've got power, and you're in control. And nothing can harm you unless God allows it. And so when you come across people, and I just feel like I have to share these things when they come up, but if a demon-possessed person comes to you, you have absolute control, and they really can't move unless you authorize that. And so that's what we did, and we commanded it to speak its name and said it. I'll never repeat it. It's in my head. But it was just kind of a weird thing, and it was strange. And so God has the power to set those people free. The reason why we didn't set that person free, because demons will go out and they go into other warm bodies. And so we know that there were junior hires. We didn't know if they were saved or not. Wouldn't be wise to do that. And so, anyways, that's kind of building up to. That's the background. There's intense warfare that's going on that we don't read about, but we know that take place. We know that there's demonic activity. Jesus walks in, sets this person free. And so they're departing from this region of Tyre and Sidon where this great, miraculous work had just taken place. And now he comes through the midst of the region of Decapolis. Do you guys see that in verse 31? It comes through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Decapolis means 10 cities. And it was a Rome away from Rome. It was a very populated place. There were a lot of people around. Church, I want you to understand this. Within the scope of healing, God wants us to be aware that there's a lot of people who need healing around us. Be very aware. Listen, when people need healings, they become very, very desperate. That was what took place in the passage right before this. That's what's happening in this passage that we just read. People are very desperate when a healing is needed. And so a lot of times the Lord will use things in people's lives to kind of push them, nudge them back to Him. And they'll come to you and they'll say, hey, could you please pray for me or for my family member or for a friend? Church, whatever you do, don't ever chastise them for coming to you. Don't ever say, why should I pray for you? You're a non-believer. You've rejected me. Don't ever, ever, ever do that. Jesus said, all who come to me, I will in no way cast out. So our role is to be like Jesus here on earth. So when people come to us for that healing, you humble yourself. Thank you for coming to me. I'll definitely will pray. And I ask him, do you mind if I take it to the church congregation? Do you mind if I put it on our church prayer list? We'll have our prayer team praying for that. So I want you to be aware of this because I think the Lord wants us to understand there's so many people who need healings, multiple healings. They don't just need to be saved, but they've got issues in life. And people get really good at masking it. And unless you're really keen on understanding personality traits and some of the psychological things, unless you have that gift of discernment, I think a lot of times we just miss these things. But what has happened is that God has done a work, and he's doing a work presently here in this passage we're looking at. I want to share another scripture with you, one that I think holds weight to the importance. If you can, keep your fingers there in Mark chapter 7 and turn over to John chapter 4. I think that there are so many opportunities for us, and he says it. He said it in later on in Luke chapter 10. He says, the harvest is truly great or plentiful, but their laborers are few. And he says, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the harvest. So I think there's opportunities for us. In John chapter 4, Jesus goes through the city of Samaria. If you don't know this about Samaria, Samarias were half-breeds. They were half-breeds physically through their bloodlines. They were half-Jews and half-Gentiles, wicked Gentiles. And they were half-spiritually. They were half-Hebrew and half-worldly. And so the Jews would never, ever, ever set foot in the city of Samaria. And what they would do is they would walk around it. But Jesus goes in, and he doesn't just go into a place where there's nobody. He goes to a place where there's only one person. It's a big city, but he goes through a time, at a time when everybody was gone. He goes to Jacob's well, and he goes and he meets one woman. This woman was a promiscuous woman. He comes and he has a conversation with her. And she says, I perceive that you're a prophet. Because he says, you haven't just had five husbands. You haven't just had four husbands. You have had five husbands. And the one you're living with right now is not your husband. So she's living in sin. And so he says, give me a drink. And she says, well, this is the well. I'm going to drink from this well. It's been given to us. If you know the story of the Samaritan woman. And then he says to her, he says, if you drink of this well again, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I give to you, you'll never thirst again. So it's this pretty amazing thing. And his disciples come back and they find him and they say, like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Why are you talking to a woman? Why are you talking to a Samaritan woman? One woman. If you never understood how important one person is to the Lord, this is one of those passages. It's amazing. He wants to reach everybody, but he goes to one individual at a time. When we consider the whole concept of healings for our lives, listen, you as a one single person are very important to the Lord. And so his disciples find him talking, the woman leaves, and she essentially brings back the whole city, and they hear what he has to say. Pretty amazing. He says in John chapter 4, verse 35, if you're not there, look there in John chapter 4, verse 35. And he's drawing the disciples' attention to their perspective, that they've missed the perspective. When we consider the work that the Lord wants to do around us, listen, there's a perspective we need to have. We need to look beyond the circumstances, beyond the situations that we're caught up in. And he says in verse 35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. So these guys, he's drawing out the agricultural understanding that, listen, the harvest is supposed to be 4 months from now. But listen, I'm telling you, it's right now. When it comes to healings, listen, God wants to do a healing in each and every one of us. However, he wants to use us to do healings in people's lives. And he wants his fellowship to do that. So we shouldn't say, well, listen, this isn't the best time for ministry. There's going to be a harvest. There's going to be healing later on. Listen, right now, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today's the day of healing. Turn with me back to Mark chapter 7. We need to look beyond our normal vision and see the opportunities that are around us. And he begins the next part. It's a presentation of what's important. And he says, then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. They brought to him. They brought this man to Jesus. Well, who did they bring? What did they bring to Jesus? The end of verse 32, it says, they brought a man who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. One who was deaf and he had an impediment in his speech. In other words, he couldn't hear and he had trouble speaking. Church, as we go through this passage, I want you to understand this, and I want you to ask the questions, what healings do you need? I want you to also understand this. What handicaps do you have? What problems do you have? Where are you broken? What impediments do you have? The weight of this message and of those questions is this. You have to look awfully deep inside. We're going to see this. We just read this. He's going to say, be opened. He's going to remove. He's going to release. He's going to set free this man. But listen, you have to be open to do that. If you don't come to the Lord and you're not open, you can't be healed. You have got to come to the Lord and say, God, I need a healing in this area. And so it's a lot of self-examination. So the questions, it's a tough question to answer. Now, I'm not asking for anybody to volunteer. Well, listen, I could use a healing here. By no means am I doing that. This is a lot of this stuff is just very private. You notice I didn't share those things. There's some things that are just private to me. They're just between me and my Lord, my Savior. And I go to him and I say, God, I need healings in this area. And in this area. And in this area. This man who is in our passage that we're studying through, he had the particular problems. He had deafness. He couldn't hear. And he had an impediment in his speech. He couldn't speak. One of the commentators points out that the word for impediment in the Greek is the same word that is used in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in Isaiah 35, verse 55, where it says, Then that the Lord opened their eyes, the eyes of the blind, and the ears of the deaf are unstopped. And so it's pointing back to the Messiah, this particular passage. It's pointing to the work of the Messiah in Isaiah 35. We are so blessed to have the Savior, Jesus Christ, as our God. Because no matter what handicap you have, no matter what insecurity, what instability, what struggles you have, what sins you're struggling with, what impediments you have, our God can see those things and he can speak a word and heal. It says that they came to him with this man. It says that they begged him to put his hand on him. Jesus, please put your hands on this man. The word for begged, it's parakaleo. It's used a little differently than we normally talk about that word parakaleo. It comes up often for us. But it basically means that they beseeched him. They begged him. They literally brought him and said, you have got to do this. There was desperation. There was desperation in their hearts. These people obviously cared very deeply for this person. Have you noticed that when somebody's really hurting or somebody's struggling with something, you can pray. If you really love and you care about them, you pray with an unction in the spirit. You pray from the bottom of your heart. When Jason was sharing this morning, I don't know that I've ever met his friend Laura. I may have met her. I may not have. But my heart, I just started getting welled up back there. Because I love Jason. My heart was breaking for him. I don't know about you. I started, I'm not crying. It's you know, there's a grief that comes with that. When you care about people, you feel for them. And God, just comfort him. Comfort him. Minister to him. And so when you care about people and when you have a deep concern for them, you get desperate for them. God, minister to them. Heal them. And so, listen, we need to be aware in the questions for us, where's the healing? Because I think it's a good place to start, but also be aware that there's a lot of people around us that need healings as well. And when you care about people, you can pray differently for them, and you can pray passionately. Listen, I know that it's not politically correct to say that a person who has deafness or a speech impediment, that they're not whole. Listen, we live in a world where you have to watch what you say. And to be quite honest with you, I think there's some good things to that. But for the most part, I hate it. It irritates me. I don't think we should say things that are mean to people. But the fact of the matter is that this person that we're looking at in this passage, he wasn't whole. He isn't all that he should be at this point. If he was all that he was supposed to be, then he wouldn't have been healed. He's handicapped. He's broken. And I feel somewhat authorized to be able to speak about knowing about what it's like to have a family member who's not whole, who's broken, who doesn't function like the rest of us. With Faith, my daughter's special needs, I feel like I have the authority to be able to say, listen, there's something wrong. She's got compound brain issues. You know, when she came out of the womb, there was a sac on the back of her head, and there was brain matter that had gone in and out of a crack in her skull. It hadn't formed correctly, or she had hydrocephalus, and her head was grown, and she had to be delivered cesarean because it would have killed her going through the vaginal delivery. So now, you know, they wanted us to abort her. We didn't. If you've been around Faith, she's so incredible. She's so loving. But there, she's not whole. She's not all that I want her to be. She's not all. Are you guys with me? There's more. And you know what? I pray every single day, God, would you please heal her? You guys have heard the prayer before, but it's the same every single day. It really is. It's almost identical. God, heal her. Help her brain to function normally. Increase her cognitive skills. Quicken her response time. Build her vocabulary. These are my prayers. God, keep her from having any seizures. It's been, I think, a little over 2 years now. I pray those things, you know? And you know what? I'm going to do that because God's called that of me. He's called me to lead her, to be that spiritual leader, to be the high priest of the home. So I'm going to continue doing that until the day that I die or until she's healed. And you know what? I also, within those prayers, God, thank you. Thank you for healing her as much as you have. I love, this is the season, it's a little bit long right now. I'll just go ahead and share with you guys. She usually is all into Monica, but she's really into me right now. And you know this, I've told you this, I am so affectionate. So my kids get around me and I just like stroking their hair and I rub their shoulders and I just love them. I rub their back. I'm very affectionate. I'm very tactile. And so she's just been like all on me, sitting on my lap and cuddling with me. And so yesterday morning when I got up, I didn't get much study time yesterday morning, but I got up. She got up. I wanted to let Monica steal. She's healing from the surgery. And so I said, do you want me to sing to you? I love singing to my daughters. The Bible says that God sings over his children. And so in the same way, I like to sing over my children. So she has a few songs that she likes to sing. And so I just started belting the songs out. And it was just that closeness. She doesn't fully understand everything. And it's not that she's not, there's just a delay. And so when I say about not being politically correct, I know it's not right to say she's broken, but there's just things not right. Her brain isn't like yours and mine. It's different. She's gone through trauma in the womb. But the truth of the matter is that she can be healed. Whether she'll be healed or not, that is not up to me. Amen? You guys with me? I don't decide that. God didn't say, listen, you're the one who's going to decide whether she's going to get healed or not. He just said, you need to pray for her. So what do? I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and I pray. Every single morning, I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and I won't stop. There has to be desperation. When you care deeply, You do that. Now, listen, if God said, listen, Robert, because listen, I think he's given me a burden. I just am kind of talking to you guys through this. But listen, if God gives you a burden for somebody and you're praying, listen, he might also say, you're now released from that burden. There might be a point in time where the Lord says, that's enough prayer for her. She's where she needs to be. You've prayed enough. And I need to be sensitive to the Spirit. So when that happens, I'm like, okay, Lord, and I'll be free. And it won't be a burden for me. Right now, it's a burden. Are you guys with me? These people that we're looking at, they begged Jesus. They beseeched him. Please put your hands on him. Our friend needs help. He's not whole. He's broken. There's things that aren't right with him. We notice that there's something different between him and us. It's not being mean. It's loving and caring. So they ask him to put his hands on him. Verses 33 and 34, there's a procedure of illustration. Listen to this. Listen to what he does. Jesus is amazing. Verse 33. And so Jesus took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spat, and he touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed. And he said, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. He took this man aside from the multitude. Why did he do that? Why did he take this man away from everybody? Well, I mean, wouldn't, if you're going to heal somebody, wouldn't you want more people to see? Hey, everybody, watch this. We're going to see something dynamic happen here. We're going to see the Spirit flow, and we're going to see this person healed. We want you all to be witnesses because you need to know that God's able to heal. No man could do this. This deafness, it couldn't be healed, but God can. But he doesn't do that. He pulls him aside, away from the multitude. Listen, this work is unique. This miracle, this healing he's about ready to give, it's unique. Listen, apply it to yourself. It's unique. It's specialized. It's different. It's tailored for him, for that exact individual. And that's the way that God works with you and with me. What is it that you need a healing in? Listen, it's going to be unique. It's going to be specialized. It's going to be different. And it's going to be tailored just for you as the exact individual of who you are. It's personal. The person who comes to the Lord has to admit that there's a need there. God, I need this. God, there's an issue. There's a problem. There's a challenge. One of our strongest desires is to communicate. When Faith was in the womb, we were bringing it to the church every single week. God, please heal. God, please heal. And if you were there at the time, they told us she's not going to make it through the whole 9 months. She's going to die in the womb. So we brought it to the church and we prayed the next week. Oh, we were wrong about that. Thanks. I appreciate it. Hey, listen, they said, we were wrong about that, but listen, here's what we're saying now. We're looking at her. We're getting another week. We see more growth. If she makes it through delivery, it's going to be a pretty awful, painful delivery, and her life's going to be very short, and you might want to consider just aborting her. And then we had this counselor at this Methodist hospital just laying into us. Do you want to abort her? Do you want to abort her? Do you want to abort her? And then we finally just said, listen, we've already told you this multiple times. Don't ever ask us this again. And the Lord gave Monica a word, life and death. Life and death is in the hands of the Lord. And that's the way we looked at it with Faith. And so we would keep bringing these things back to the congregation. And we would keep praying. And there was something that I kept praying all along. And I asked the congregation to pray for me about, please make it so that my daughter can communicate with me. My two love languages that are the strongest are words of affirmation and physical touch. I'm very affectionate, but I'm also, I like to communicate. I like to talk. I'll just talk and talk and talk. Even though sometimes I get quiet, listen, I love to talk. And so I asked the Lord so that I'd be able to communicate with her, and she does. She talks with me. She understands. Not as much as I'd like, but it's so important. And so this communication, it's very, very important. And the friends are saying, God, he doesn't know how to communicate at the level that we do. He doesn't have that ability, and so we need to see something happen. And I'm sure that this man knew that something miraculous was about ready to happen. I'm sure that this man who was deaf and mute, he understood he was being brought to Jesus. Are you ready to come to Jesus? Are you ready to bring the handicaps and the impediments to the Lord to deal with? It says that Jesus then put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and he touched his tongue. Sometimes Jesus does things that are just a little bit like, why did you do that? Why on earth were you doing that? Listen, didn't his friends say, Jesus, just lay your hands on him? So Jesus did that, but not in a way that they were expecting, right? We have to be open. Sometimes the Lord's going to do a healing, and he's going to do a work in our lives, and it may not be in the way, the form that we think. He might take a different method. So they'd never asked him, but Jesus put his fingers in his ears, and he spit, and then he touched the man's tongue. Saliva in that culture was considered to be a healing agent. Kind of interesting. But it's a very vivid imagery here that's being done. And then it says that he looked to heaven and he sighed and he said, Ephatha, be opened. He sighed. It means he groaned inwardly. And literally the word is stenazo. It means he closed. One of the things with faith, just to real teach you a word here. One of the things with faith is she had hydrocephalus because the spinal fluid would go from one ventricle to another ventricle from 3 to 4. She had a stenosis. A stenazo, a closure between the canal where the spinal fluid would go from one ventricle to another. You guys with me? Pretty good terms there, huh? Thank you. I've been working on it. So this word stenazo, it means to close. But it means he's groaning inside and there's a closure that's taking place. Why? Why was he groaning inside? Because he understood the pain and the sorrow. This was a result of sin. This is a result of pain and sorrow. And he says, listen, this is now closing. I want you to understand this. When God does a healing, he closes that chapter in our lives. There's pain, there's sorrow. He wants to do that work. Listen, because if you're thinking like me, well, I could use a healing here and a healing here, and there's some hurts that I have and I haven't forgiven people, whatever it would be for you, God would say, listen, I want to bring those chapters to a close. Let's close those up and let's move on. He's got compassion. Isaiah 53:3 says he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And it says that he gave this man a word. And then the healing took place. And that was Ephatha, which means to be opened or to be unbarred. Jesus is saying to this man, you're no longer broken anymore. Before we go to the next verse, I want you to know this. If you're a healer yourself, if you have that gift of healing, please be open to being healed. Because a lot of times the healers feel like they just have to keep praying for people to be healed, but they also have to receive. And I think there's people here in this congregation, I know there are, that have that gift of healing. And God would say to you today, you need to be open for healings yourself. Verse 35, there's a pronouncement. It says, immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. So there's this word. Jesus gives the man a word. And there's this radical healing, and it says that the impediment, something that bind, is loosed or dissolved. And then it says that he spoke plainly. Do you guys see that word spoke? It's laleo in the Greek, and it means it's an imperfect verb. It means he continually talked. Do you have kids? Do you have any kids that just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk? Faith is like that. She's a little chatty Cathy. Samantha, not as much Elizabeth, but Samantha, especially when we watch movies, Samantha will just interrupt and ask questions right before the movie is going to give us the answer. They talk and they talk and they talk and they talk at the worst times. But we love them and we really want to communicate with them, don't we? Well, this guy just talked and talked and talked. That's what this says. He just talked and talked and talked and talked. He got this freedom. You ever play the Rubik's Cube and you figure out how to do it? And you're like, you know, mix it up. I'll do it again. And then, like, all of a sudden you're doing that over and over and over. You got a new trick. He's got a new skill. He's able to speak clearly. He says, I just want to keep talking. And no doubt, it doesn't say this, but no doubt, this is my speculation, I bet you he was just talking about the Lord over and over and over. So the man's given a word, and he can speak, and now the Lord gives a word to the multitude there, verses 36 and 37. What is that word? Listen to what he says. He commands them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. He commands them, don't speak anymore. There's a few times in the scriptures where he says, don't go and tell people this great work that I've done. And it usually brings up the question, well, why would you do this? Why would Jesus say, don't tell anybody about this? He makes the deaf to hear. He makes the mute to speak. And then he makes the speaking to be silent. What a weird thought. Why would he command the multitude to be silent? It's very, very simple. Because he wanted their attention. He wanted their attention. He wanted them to listen. Years ago, there was a man who owned an ice house. And he lost a very expensive watch. And so he offered a reward to his employees. And so all of them were taking rakes and shovels. And they're moving the sawdust around. They're trying to find this watch. They searched and they searched. And they couldn't find it. So at the end of their first session, before lunch, that they were looking, they couldn't find it. Finally, there's a little boy who came in at lunch, and he went in for just a short period of time, and he came right out with a watch. And they said, how did you do that? How'd you find the watch? And he says, I went in, and I laid down on the sawdust, and I got real quiet, and I just listened for a ticking. And when he heard the ticking, he knew exactly where the watch was. And it's the same thing for us. The Lord just wants us to slow down and to be silent. Because he wants to speak to us. And if we're busy doing all the things of life, there's a choking out that takes place. And he wants his word to be understood. We need to quietly wait and listen to our King speak to us. Church, I want to end with that. But I want you to know this, that God is a God who heals. And his healings didn't finish in the first century. His healings are still available for today. They're available for you. They're available for your family. They're available for your friends. Listen, we don't ever butler God. We don't ever tell him, here's what you're going to do. We don't command him. We beg him. We come with desperation. God, we need something to happen. And so if there's something in your heart that you're hurting about, if there's something that you've been struggling for years, maybe decades with, God would say, listen, I've got a healing for you. And I want you to be freed up. If you're a parent, you understand completely what I'm about to say. God is our Father, never wants his children to suffer. And I would do just about anything to get a healing, to get my kids to grow. I don't want them hurting in things. And because I understand this great passion that I have for my kids, for them to be living life to the fullest, I understand that my Father in heaven also says, Robert, I want you to live life to the fullest. I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. And so I need to remember that so that I can pray with a full heart of faith. God, please come and heal this area. Please heal this wound in my heart. Please take this area of sin away. Please touch my mind. Please help me to understand. Maybe I did some damage along the way. God, I need healing. I am also going to challenge you to pray for our church's health physically. I'll try and say it not so passionate. I was about ready to say something really passionate. I'm not happy with how much our congregation's been sick over the last year. So I'm burdened. It just has been one illness after another, after another, after another. And then it goes from one family to another. Have you noticed that? And I won't tell you any of the gory details, but I've gotten sick because it's been passed around, and I just want a year of health. Right along with all those other things, I also want our church to be healthy. I don't want our kids to be sick. And it always happens. There's always warfare before the retreats. So I just want this to be a healthy year. I want there to be salvation healings. I want there to be emotional, mental, spiritual healings. I want there to be physical healings. I want to see all of that here. And so I pray that you'd be on board with me. You'd catch the vision and you'd say, this is what I want also. I want to see something dynamic happen. That doesn't mean God's not going to do other works. Amen? We're not limiting him, but this is a focus. Do your work here, Lord. Have your way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for today, God. We thank you for a time to come and study your word, Lord. And I pray that you take these things that you've taught us this morning, you'd write them on our hearts. God, I pray that you would help us to understand the passion that you have for us. Lord, you went to the cross, you endured the shame because there was a joy that was set before you, and we're that joy. Lord, I pray that you would help us to receive that by faith this morning, to receive your love and your care for us by faith. And I pray that we would pray by faith because of those things, because of your goodness, because of our track record with you, because of your faithfulness to us, Lord, because your promises to us, Lord. I pray that we would pray believing that you're going to heal. And I pray that you would do healing after healing after healing this year, Lord. Let us be witnesses to it. Let us bring more glory to your name. God, I pray that you'd bring people that don't know you to us, and that we would receive them lovingly, and we would pray for them, and that they would experience healings, Lord. And we pray again that you'd be glorified. Lord, save people. Get the outreaches at the end of the year, Lord. We pray that you'd use those to save people and to heal them spiritually and from their sins, God. We just commit this year to you. We pray that there'd be physical health for our congregation, from the littlest to the oldest. And we pray, Lord, that you would just do a great and a mighty work in our church in 2017. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.